Good morning. Good to see each and every one of you, especially if good to see our mothers out here. We have quite a few, and we appreciate you. We're in Isaiah in our book, we're lesson 7, but we'll be doing chapters 13 and 14 in Isaiah. Isaiah, the 13th and 14th chapter, mainly is talking about the judgment upon Babylon. Let me ask you a question. Does God judge the countries or nations or kingdoms today?
God is consistent.
Do what?
God is consistent.
Consistent. So is that a yes? Okay. Can we learn anything from God's judgment?
We should. We could.
Okay. If the leaders of the world would look at God's word, they can benefit from them greatly. But we see that very, 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 very little of that ever is done. And you look at, begin to look at now like our country and other countries too, with human wisdom, there is no comparison to God's wisdom. And so that's the reason why that God has judgment upon countries. And he is going about to tell them about Babylon. What's so unique about this judgment upon Babylon right now, in this particular time, or present time of Isaiah? Right. Who's in power right now? Assyrians. Do they go went to get Assyria because they knew that they were going to be attacked, and instead of relying upon God, they relied upon Assyria, and then Assyria has taken over. And Assyria is it's a world domination, but it's not. And so it's kind of unique that here he's talking about Babylon. And the country, it's there, but it's not the power like the Assyrian is right now. And it's kind of odd that you would think that here you got Assyrian coming up. Why is he talking about Babylon? Why is he talking about the destruction or judgment of Babylon to these people? Anybody?
Okay.
Yeah? Okay. Okay. This is all true, very well, too, but point. There are going to be some great kingdoms come along, and Babylon is going to be really the first world. Assyria is, but it's not like Babylon. Then you're going to have the Medo-Persian, then you're going to have the Alexander the Grecian, then you're going to have Rome, the greatest one. Which one of those nations can stand against God? None. I don't care how powerful it is. And that's one of the things we'll be talking about today, also with Babylon. All right, chapter 13. Now, I'll kind of go, chapter 13 is only about 22 verses, so I'm not going to, I didn't write the verses down, but we'll kind of go verse by verse. But he's telling about in verse 1, the burden against Babylon. He's telling you now what he is called the oracle against Babylon, or the judgment against Babylon. And like I said, this is kind of unique because Babylon, it's not a world power. Why is he telling us about this burden against Babylon? And when we talk about burden, he talked about this is a heavy or weighty thing, judgment against a powerful nation, but it's not a powerful nation yet. And we'll talk about that a little bit more. Now, he starts off, he gives the three commands. He says, to set up an ensign or a flag, this is how they do it when you come in war. You've got a man up on a mountaintop and he's got a flag. That's telling those in the battle what to do during the battle, is to help them out. And he's got a flag up there telling them or giving them a command what they're supposed to be doing. Then you also down in the battle, you have voice command. Tell them you go this way or that way, this is what we're going to do. Then the other one he's talking about to wave or shake your hand. And that's like here he says, particularly when they're coming in, it says come in to the gates of the nobles. Come on in. Basically, I think personally what he's talking about is, this is where he's talking about coming in. It can be the gates of noble. I think he's talking about the palace. Where you coming in, what do you want? You want to get the one, the power. And that's the king. And if you come in and gets his place where he stays, the palace, then that shows you're victorious here. So he's telling them, my nation, these people come up against Babylon. And he talks about, he tells them, look up for verse 3. Those concentrators say, these are my armies that's coming in. Now, he didn't describe it, but in verse 17, he will. But it's the Medes. The Medes are going to come in. They're my army. I have set them apart to come in and to destroy Babylon. That's what their function is. And they're going to come in and they're going to destroy great Babylon. And he's talking about the noise of the multitude of the mountain. He's telling it's going to be a great army that's coming in. And it is. We'll talk about a little bit how they just some destruction there. But this is God's judgment, and he's using these people, the Medes, to come in to destroy Babylon. Okay? Now, who destroyed the Assyrians? Babylon. Who Babylon destroying Assyria? God. Why is he having judgment against them now? They were his people then. Why would he want to bring Babylon down? They were his people that he used to destroy Assyria. Do what? Yes. They grew more and more and more wicked. Especially the king. We'll talk about that later too with that. How they came about. Now, verse 6 to 16. The terror of the day of Jehovah. And that's the day of their judgment. If you look in Daniel 4:30, it says, Nebuchadnezzar says, is this not great Babylon which I have built for the royal dwelling place by the mighty of my power and for the glory of my majesty? Who built Babylon? God. Who gave them the power? God. Mm-hmm. Facts. Oh. Were you through? Let me stop. I thought you was through, so I just went to you.
You know, I think it's interesting the misconception sometimes is that God created these great nations that were evil, old state evil, and
That's right.
This is the God of Israel, or the God, Jehovah God. And you see in Ezekiel 18 where he says, God says he doesn't desire that anybody should perish. You know, when you go to Jonah, at the end of the book of Jonah, he says to Jonah, why shouldn't my eye pity the 120,000 that can't even discern it from the right and left? And he said, to them, God never intended for the people to just be destroyed after he was done. But if people choose not to be righteous and they choose to not obey his law and to follow his precepts, then he left it out to it because his will be done. His bringing about a Messiah, his bringing about salvation to mankind is not going to be interrupted. So he used them as long as they were listening or were there and wanted to stop and be tested.
Right. We get a glimpse more so in with Babylon because Daniel, and Daniel is taken captive and he's put into, this is one of their process, which is how the Babylonians did. What they did, they came in, they overthrew it, and they would come in and take the best people, and then they would take them back to their homeland. And they'll leave the poorer people, the people they didn't really want to take care of. And a lot of times the land become kind of desolate because these people didn't know what to do with it. And so it really wasn't, I didn't think it's Bishop, but when the Medes and Persians comes in, they wanted their home people to stay that way and keep the land prosperous. But Nebuchadnezzar was, and his father, they were just, I call warriors, because they both always want to go out and conquer, and they did. But we get a glimpse into how God was interacts with this way. And right after this, when he said this right here, that's when he becomes more like an apple. He becomes mad. He's out in the field. He's grass and everything until he come to his senses. But he knew who God was before this. But he didn't keep it in his heart. He didn't think about God. He just kept them by himself. And so this is what he was talking about. They become, he'll talk about this later too, where Babylon, where he talked about Nebuchadnezzar and all his son is the one that, when Belshazzar is the one that, when it comes in, it goes, kind of goes down because of him. But they just think of what all the great things. And he's, look, I am a mighty. And you think about it, he's a world dominating country. He's the most powerful man on earth. And God's going to take him down. Okay? And this is the whole thing with it. I don't care how you exalt yourself up that you think you're a god or whatever. You know that in Rome, the Caesars thought they were God. They were took down. You cannot go against God. And this is the thing. And the countries cannot do this. And he tells it the people that they're going to come in. Their heart's going to melt when these Medes comes in. Their arms are going to come limp. And they're going to be pain and suffering, like he talked about having the pain and suffering in childbirth. He said, you people will suffer because of this. What's going to happen? And he talks about, he says, basically, everything will become dark. And it's used that every time, or a lot of times when a country is being defeated, whatever, how the sun doesn't shine or everything becomes dark, it does appear to them. Because there is no brightness. There is no hope. When these people come in, as we'll talk a little bit more, they are going to destroy them. There is not going to be anything left. And you talk about Babylon is tried to type a symbol of cruel and ruthless imperialism. That's how they were. Well, that's how they are going to be destroyed, the same way. And it's going to seem awful to their people. It is the end of the world, the final judgment for Babylon. And it's talked about as the timid gazelle flees in the face of danger, and sheep scatter so that no man can gather them, so will people flee to his own land. For Babylon was made up of many people. Those that they took in. They're going to come and they're going to leave. They're going to flee back to their own hand, to their own land. However, those that stay, the cruelty of war knows no bounds. Any person remaining will be thrust through. And those who are captured will be slain. Also, children will be dashed to pieces before their eyes. Houses will be plundered and their wives ravished. Not a pretty picture, is it? This is what Isaiah is painting, what's going to happen to Babylon. And this is several hundred years down the road. Think about this. This is God knowing what's going to happen. He's going to use Babylon to destroy the Assyrians. And that's how the Assyrians will know that this prophecy is going to come through. Because it's not going to be in their lifetime. But Isaiah, probably, these people will not know this. But they're going to understand what's going to happen to the great Babylon. They're going to hear the stories about Babylon. Then you're going to hear the stories out of the people after they are set free. How they'll sing. All right. Verses 17 to 22. You're going to find the completeness of the destruction. God's nation destroy is the Medes. All right. Medes actually will come Medo-Persian because the Persians will come in later. Cyrus and his army took the city of Babylon. The buildings of the city were left intact. All right. When Cyrus comes in, they think of him as a liberator because the Jews will get to go back to their old place, back to home. Think to be great liberator. And the city will be intact. But God is going to tell us later on that it's going to be utterly destroyed. Yes, it will. Not this first time. It's going to be over a hundred of years. But it's going to become so desolate. Nobody, you won't know about it. It'll be a desert. And it comes true. People, it comes true. Gary? The liberal scholars, what I call that way, they will say that Isaiah did not write this part here. Because you're talking about hundreds of years ahead of time. But you have to understand, God is telling you who rules this earth and who rules this country. And he's telling his people, you serve me. You do my wills, you do my commandment. If you listen to me, your life will be so much better. But when you think about your wisdom, when you want to do this and do that, and not my words, this is what's going to happen. And it will happen and happen again, over and over again. The city destruction will be complete and final. Babylon will never be rebuilt. Even the wild Arabs will avoid the place and refuse to pitch their tent there. No shepherd of any racial background will make his flock lie down on this accursed ground. The prophet paints a picture of wild creatures inhabiting the ruins of the once proud city. Wild ghosts dancing here and there, jackals yelping, wolves howling their mournful night cry. And other creatures stealing through the rubble. From Isaiah's point in time, destruction was not near. But to the Babylon, it will seem near. It will come to them. But this is God's telling you what's going to happen to the great, great country or nation, the world dominating Babylon. It will come down. And it will not come back. It will not rebuild. Because this is God speaking. There is no kingdom on this earth that I cannot affect. And see, if Babylon, like Pax was talking about, they Nebuchadnezzar knew God. But he never kept him in his, he kept on going back to himself. Pride and arrogance overcap coming in. And you'll see it nation after nation after nation, how it comes about. Because the next several chapters, we're going to be about 10 nations. We're going to go in and see God's judgments upon them. And it's going to be pride and arrogance that brings all these nations down. All right. Anything on chapter 13? Yes. Yep. God fulfills his prophecies. And this is a prophecy. He continues on in chapter 14 with the prophecy about Babylon. Now, the first couple of verses here, he talks about the people coming back. He said, the destruction of Babylon will be followed by the restoration of Israel. A new people coming back. They will come back. And he's talking about. And this basically is talking about Cyrus will let the people come back. Cyrus was a Mede. And there's Darius and Artaxerxes after that, which are active Persians. Assyria is the Medo-Persian. But Cyrus will let them come back to Israel, to their land and everything, and it will help them build their temple and build it back up. Which is a different philosophy from the Babylonians. Theirs was utter destruction. Bring the people them, their ideals were that let the people go back and it'd be more prosperous and it'd be a better kingdom that way. So you have different philosophies to hear of the two. All right. Isaiah is telling the Israel of the present that there will come a day of rest for their sorrows and trouble. In this day of rest, the people will find the time to take up a taunting song against Babylon. This is what we're going to be talking about here. It's going to be a proverb or a song about Babylon. And they're talking about basically its destruction. It talks about how basically how it was, how mean it was, how it felt to, like we're talking about taking the people away from their land and bringing them there. And how they treated them this way. And they're singing the song of rejoice. Now that it is over with, they're singing the song of rejoicing about the fall of Babylon, basically what he's talking about. It says, with the fall of Babylon, not only Israel, but the whole earth will be at rest for at least for a season. Because Babylon was such a worldwide dominating country or empire or kingdom. It will become, it'd be a big difference once the Cyrus comes in, or Median Persians. Now, he makes a contrast here, very interesting, in verse 9. In contrast to the quiet of the earth at the fall of Babylon and her power, Hail or Sheol, the world of the unseen spirit, is greatly agitated at the prospect of the tyrant or the kings or nobles coming from Babylon down to that realm. The fall of such power has raised up the great of the unseen realm to meet him as he comes to take his place with them. Okay, the world, earth becomes quiet, but he's talking about hell and Sheol, the place of the where the departed souls go to. There's going to be a great disturbance there because of the kings coming in to this place. And it goes continues, says, now, have you also become weak as we are? Weren't you the great magic king of Babylon? What happened? You had exalted yourself so high. Why are you down in here in this pit? Just like the rest of us. You saw that you were no match for God. You exalted yourself up. The pomp of great Babylon is brought down to chill. Her musical instruments are silent. Her kingly robes and luxury of his palace are covered in maggots and worms. See how the great the fall is? Now, we get to verse 12. Open it, Acts. Very good. I think one of the key points, and I think throughout this whole thing, like you talk about, why do you got this spot about 2-3 verses here where they're at peace and everything? And the world is, actually the earth is at peace because when Babylon comes down. And it's, like they said, they look at Cyrus as the liberator of the thing. But the whole point of the whole thing, if you look at thing, it's showing you one thing, God's in control. That's it. God is in control. I don't care how high you can exalt yourself. You can be the strongest nation in the world. And you could be the head of the president or the king or whatever. God can burn it down. If you don't have God, you lose it all. That's what it is. And he's showing these people, I don't care how powerful you are. If you don't have me, you're nothing. And that's why he's showing here. And there is peace upon earth. And that's the reason they're coming back with joy to this song about the great downfall of Babylon. And here they're talking about the king. How is he now? He's at the lowest pit. He's not up here. He's down here. Then in verse 12. Verse 12 causes some problem for some people called the word Lucifer. How you are fallen from heaven. O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground. You are weakened the nations. And a lot of people will look at this verse, talk about this as where Satan is cast out of heaven. But it's not in the context. Well, we're not talking about that. We're talking about the king of Babylon. And he said, now, O Lucifer, our star, day star, the bright, how the sun comes up in the morning, breaks up the night, how it is. What a great thing is. You see the sun coming up in the morning, how beautiful it is. It's breaking darkness. You got light. That's how you thought you were. You thought you were so magnificent, that you were so great. And he keeps on, and he talks about, he takes these up to the highest mountain, the clouds covers the mountain, and he thinks he's up there with them. He owns the heavens. That's what he thinks now. That's what he's telling everybody. He thinks he's just got this, all this power that he can do this. But where is he at? Is he up there in the mountain? Is he up there in the heavens? He's down in the pit. That's the reason I'm saying the joy here. Where is he at now? Verse 12 to 20. The fall of the mighty. All right, let's get back to earth now, not to Chio. Where men behold the body of the fallen monarch. His body is dead. Is he any different from anybody of the other soldiers that are laying there beside him? He may be dressed it, but he's what? He's dead. He has fallen. In his desire to conquer the and rule the world, the Babylon had made the earth tremble with fear. He did. The earth did. He was a vast empire. And the earth did tremble when he hear him coming. Then he makes a contrast. When the other kings die, they have their scepter or their graves or everything like that. Where's this his? Where is his at? It is the vengeance of Jehovah. The destruction must be such that never again will the Babylon rise up and build cities. The taking of Babylon by Cyrus, 539 B.C., brought to an end a kingdom which had become a world power of Nebuchadnezzar and his father. His father, Nebuchadnezzar, started it, and Nebuchadnezzar was a great one. But then Belshazzar, his son, it went down. Was slain, and the nation never rose again. The completeness of Babylon's rule is emphasized in the words, I will sweep it with the broom of destruction, said the Lord of hosts. That's how they describe it. Using the broom to sweep away Babylon. At this time, writing, Assyria was a dominant world power. And they're talking about this coming up. But this is how you can tell this is coming about. When Assyria goes down and Babylon comes down there, make the people think and click. God is knowing what he's talking about. Isaiah is the true prophet. He is the prophet. Now, the last part. We're off Babylon. Now, we're talking about Philistia. Now, do not rejoice, all of you of Philistia, because the rod that struck you is broken, for out of the serpent roots will come forth a viper, and his offspring will be a fiery flying serpent. Philistines are rejoicing here with this. Who has been a thorn in the Israelites' side all the time? Philistine, the Philistines. And he's talking about you're rejoicing that the great Babylon's come down too. But let me just tell you, don't rejoice. You're going away by the wayside too. As Babylon is gone, so are you. And yours is going to be a harsh end too. And it's talked about basically a famine that comes through that way. A harsh famine is going to come through and destroy everything. And you're not going to survive it. So he tells them, don't rejoice for this, because your time has come too. And we begin lesson 8. Well, like I said, we'll be discussing other kingdoms that are going to be coming down to wayside. And remember this, emphasis, God is in control of this earth back then and now too. God is control. Remember that and remember prayer to God. Thank you.